Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
That's Connor Ryan. Connor, what is up?
Evan, I'm doing okay. How you doing?
I'm doing great. It is quite the day, quite the morning. There's a game tonight, too. Game on Thursday night against the Sabres that I think is on the back burner because of everything that has been happening this morning. In the span of like, you know, an hour and a half, the Bruins world was kind of turned upside down in a good way. We're going to start, obviously, Bruins extend David Pastrnak. Bruins also trade for Tyler Bertuzzi. We'll start with the Pastrnak stuff because that is that's been the longest. That's been simmering the longest. It's been quite a road to that. Bruins extend David Pastrnak 8 years, $11.25 million per, and $90 million over the course of those 8 years. Connor, your initial reaction.
Yeah, I mean, this is something that, as you said, has been building up for a while in terms of the Bruins, their extended conversations with J.P. Barry and David Pastrnak's associates. And it's one that comes down to, you know, is this probably what the Bruins were expecting they were going to pay when they first started these negotiations last summer? Probably not. I think you're probably looking at more of the Charlie McAvoy, $9.5 million, $10.5 million maybe. So I think it did go probably a little bit longer than they expected in terms of both the negotiation, what the annual payout is. But I think in the grand scheme of things, when you look at what this cap hit is, what David Pastrnak gives you for the next 8 years, what he means, especially in the long term, you're looking at, yes, there's no, you can't look past the fact that this team has a bit of an uncertain future when you don't know whether you're going to have Bergeron back and Krejci down the middle going forward. That's a given. But I think when you listen to Don Sweeney and Cade Miley speak today, for them, it's all about kind of finding that best foundation moving forward. And if you tell me in the coming years, yes, you can't replace Bergeron and Krejci, right? Like, we do know that. But if your foundation moving forward is guys like Pastrnak signed long-term, McAvoy, Ullmark, we'll see what happens with Swayman, Marchand even, who's still playing at a high level. You still have a very good set grouping to build off of and retool moving forward. Like, this team isn't built, in the way their contract is kind of structured, to be a team that's going to, I think, rebuild in the next couple of years. Are they going to be the cup contender they are right now? Probably not, unless they find another top six center. But they are very much structured to be more of a retooling team than a full-on rebuild. And even if maybe you paid a little bit more than you were expecting, if you're the Bruins going into this, I think you take a contract for a guy like Pastrnak, who's going to have 50 goals this year, and I have to imagine it's going to have 50 goals a couple more of these seasons moving forward.
I mean, they're built strong on the wings and they're built on D, and they have, you know, they're good in net. The one flaw in the future is what is the future for top six centers on this team. But again, I mean, it goes back to, it was never going to be this cheap. I mean, it was never going to be as cheap as I think we all thought it was going to be last year. As it dragged on, it was pretty obvious this was not going to be a cheap contract. But again, if the cap hopefully goes up the way it should, we'll see what happens with a lot of different variables. But if it does, this contract doesn't look as expensive, so to speak. And guess what, Connor? He's worth it. He's worth it. That's the thing. He is worth this money. Can you believe it? He is worth it. And it's in large part, again, think of how many years, Connor, growing up, prior to us having anything, having this platform, prior to us covering the team at all, for a long time, the Bruins did not have a goal scorer. Even in 2011, they did not have like a bona fide goal scorer, you know, a guy that you could turn to in every situation who would, you know, score you a goal. That's David Pastrnak. That's David Pastrnak. And again, you can't just let that guy walk. You cannot let that guy walk out the door. And, you know, again, it wasn't cheap, $11.25 million per, but I mean, that's the echelon, you know, he's in the upper echelon of players in the NHL and he gets paid like it now. So again, yeah, I mean, yeah. You know, I think people have, you know, they might have their, you know, have their issues with the money, but it was never going to be cheap, right?
No, it was never going to be cheap. And I think when you look at the big picture part of this, yes, they have some, they might have some issues in the year ahead in terms of, you know, fixing this kind of cap crunch you're staring at, where we don't really know what Bergeron and Krejci are going to do, how to deal with those bonus overages. Like next year will get tricky. And I think Don Sweeney and Evan Gold and the rest of Hockey Ops is going to have their work cut out for them in terms of retooling this team on the fly. But I think you look at this contract 2-3 years down the line, when you hope that the salary cap jumps up quite a bit, you know, whether it's the fact that the player is going to be stop paying their escrow in the next year or so, you look at the fact that the cap was already supposed to jump a couple million dollars. Now, again, as you said, there's some factors that have to play out, right? Like we have to see when that escrow is going to get paid off. There's the whole thing with the regional sports networks with like Bally Sports and a few other places that some teams are in a little bit of limbo in terms of that TV money. So that's a domino that needs to fall there. But all things considered, the expectation at least is that the cap is going to jump up a good deal in the next couple of years. So you're already looking at, I think Pasta's deal right now makes up about 13.7% of the overall cap on the Bruins, which when you compare it to other teams in the past that have signed guys when it was 20%, 19%, it's already a little bit more manageable in the bigger scheme of things. And if in a year or two that ends up being 10% of the cap, the Bruins will live with it for a guy like Pastrnak, who, again, barring injury, doesn't seem like a guy whose skill set is going to regress in the next couple of years at least, right? Like, let's check, see how it is in 2030, 2031, and see what happens. But I think it's fair to assume, Evan, I don't think it's a hot take. So I think Pasta is going to hover around 40 goals a season, if that, right? So
he also projects well. All the projection models have him consistently being as good as he is for the next 5, 6, 7 years. So again, I think, you know, his game does not, it's not something that looks to be declining. The way he plays, his goal scoring abilities, that stuff that I think is going to continue with time, and it stands with this deal. So it was pretty crazy Thursday morning when the Bertuzzi stuff happened. People were kind of in a frenzy about that, and then all of a sudden the Bruins tweeted that GIF of Pastrnak with the All-Star shades. And I wonder if they filmed that at the All-Star game or whenever it was, and we're like, David, when you re-sign, we're going to tweet this. So let's just get out ahead of it. You know, maybe that was
sent that to JP Barry. That's what they did. That's what finally got this contract settled. Just sending memes to each other. So that's how we settled business in the year of our Lord 2023, Evan.
Yes, that's how you and I seal deals between us. It's just memes going back and forth. I also like the photo that the Bruins took of him signing the deal and him taking a photo of Sweeney signing the contract. Like, oh, gotta make sure that this is really happening. And I think for Bruins fans, it was good to see and that it was finally happening. So again, not the only news of the morning, not bigger news, but more surprising news. Tyler Bertuzzi from the Detroit Red Wings, who famously kind of started that goalie fight brawl in 2018, which was, you know, classic Marchand moment, hitting Jimmy Howard, just, you know, completely bananas type moment. You don't see those anymore. Bruins trade for Tyler Bertuzzi. They give up a 2024 first round pick, which is top 10 protected. They give up a 2025 fourth round pick, and Detroit retains 50%. Of Bertuzzi's cap hit, which was initially just over $4.7 million. It was right around that. So, interesting deal. I think this, my take on it is, I don't know if this happens if Taylor Hall and Nick Foligno don't, you know, get their injuries. I think this was in large part due to that. Maybe the Bruins would have added more depth forward if that didn't happen. But with Hall going on LTIR, Foligno on IR, feels like this was more of a need. I think when this came out before the injury news came down, so I think a lot of people thought, oh my God, they're bolstering up even more. And it's like, yeah, they are, But this was kind of a need with Hall and Foligno going down.
Yeah, I think when you factor in any, whether it's in the off season or during the year, when you have something where you have to weigh the cap situation, LTIR, injuries, all that kind of stuff, it's almost like you wait for the other shoe to drop. It's almost like the Zaka trade last year and waiting for that extension. And you had a hunch that it was because they're working out a contract for Bergeron and Krejci, but you're kind of in that limbo. It's kind of how I think you have to view this Bertuzzi trade, right? Where I think at face value in terms of, let's say, Hall and Foligno aren't back, it's still a very good pickup for the Bruins and good on them for, instead of being like, all right, we kind of just trudge ahead with what we have on this roster, or we get, you know, a guy like Bonino or Bukestad or one of these guys that I think would be a good fit, but does help out the team, but isn't a guy like Bertuzzi, right, who's a 30-goal scorer.
Last year.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, like it's a clear upgrade in that regard. So even at face value, if you don't have Hall and Foligno back, I think having Bertuzzi is a huge help. And again, we'll see kind of what happens. Like Don Sweeney wasn't exactly offering a lot of optimism, I think, today when it comes to the fact that I think it's safe to assume that Hall and Foligno probably won't be back during the regular season. Again, we'll see what happens when we get to the playoffs. This could very well be a similar situation to what Tampa Bay did a few years ago with Kucherov. And the Bruins could start round one and all of a sudden Hall's back and you have a third line of Hall, Coyle, Bertuzzi. That's pretty good, right? But even if that doesn't happen and the Bruins aren't so fortunate with the injury bug and you are missing one or two of those guys that have been key pieces, like even if Hall's kind of tailed off a little bit, which you wonder how, you know, this injury has been bothering him over that stretch, there's still two plus players that have helped out tremendously this year. So it is a significant loss. Like, let's not get it twisted in terms of, you know, weighing the good and the bad here. Like, I think the Bruins would probably rather not have to deal with cap compliancy and all this stuff and have those two guys in the lineup, the two guys that have been there and helped this team start this record-setting pace. But if you're the Bruins and you're trying to maximize this win-now window this season, you've dealt a bad hand probably the first time all season in terms of these two injuries happening so close to each other. And then you go out and target a guy that was kind of viewed as a potential trade target, but you didn't really know what Detroit was doing. To get a guy like Bertuzzi, who, again, could just be a rental, but for what his talent is and how he fits in with, especially guys like Orlov and Hathaway, like Bertuzzi's not really a guy that's going to have 7 or 8 hits a game like a guy like Hathaway is, but he's a pain in the ass, right? Like, he's an agitator. He's got a really good penalty differential, so he does a very good job at getting under the skin of opposing players. And again, even though he's been kind of injured this year, I think he's got 6 points in his last 7 games, has hit 20 goals 3 times in his career. Like, it's not just a spare piece and you're trying to, you know, fix like a dent in a car with like a little bit of duct tape, right? Like, you're trying to really, you know, improvise on the fly here if you're the Bruins. So good on them for, you know, getting a dealt a bad hand and getting a pretty significant piece back, try to address it at least in the short term.
A dent on a duct tape for a dent in a car would be not the greatest of ideas for that poor car. But I will say with Bertuzzi, it does feel like, again, it's a potential impact forward. Like, that's not, as you said, that's not a Bonino. That is someone who can come in. I mean, imagine a line of, you know, Bertuzzi, Coyle, and Hathaway on the right. I mean, my God, that would cause fits for the poor defenseman on the other team. But again, I mean, it's going to be, you know, we'll see what happens with if they decide to extend him. Same with Dmitry Orlov, right? Orlov is an impressive defenseman. Probably going to command a fair amount of money, especially with how he went in Calgary the other night. He was the only skater that seemed to be there in some form or fashion. But again, the thing with Bertuzzi, and I think he fits in this lineup well, but the one thing that people keep harping on that I see on Twitter, by the way, I see all the comments from people watching live. The forward being talked about most is not Bertuzzi or Pastrnak. It is Milan Lucic. People are, people are outside City Hall asking for Milan Lucic to come back to the Bruins. They are outside Warrior picketing to get Milan Lucic back on the Bruins. And I understand it. I don't think that's what the need is, but I do think that I understand that the people want him back. The good old days of 2011 and the big bad Bruins. But the first round picks, it's another first round pick dealt away by Sweeney. And I think one thing that a lot of people are saying is, oh my God, you know, they're not going to be picking it all in the next couple of years and important, you know, higher picks, and they're giving them away, and they, you know, they've given away a 2023 and a 2024 at this deadline. They're missing their seconds the next 2 years. Like, and what I would say to that is, first of all, you got to go all in for this year. If this is a last dance, as it has been kind of built out to be, you have to go completely all in, chips to the middle of the table. And that's what they've done so far. And I've seen some, you know, criticism of, if they don't win, what's it going to say about Sweeney? And it's like, well, in my mind, Sweeney, as Marchand said on Thursday, Sweeney and his front office have done everything they can to put this team in the position to succeed. Now it's up to the players. So in the event that the Bruins lose in the second round, third round, cup, whatever, I would never put that on Sweeney. They've done everything they can do to get to this point. That would be on the players. And to me, I mean, you're getting legit talent in return. You're not giving up a first for Barclay Goodrow. You're giving a first for Dmitry Orlov, a top four defenseman. Tyler Bertuzzi, a potential, you know, top six fill-in, you know, previous 30-goal scorer. Hampus Lindholm last year, right? So, I mean, what do you think? Do you think that there's merit to that argument?
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Yeah, I think, again, if you want to simplify it, it doesn't matter at all if you win a cup. It's all that matters, right? You can look back on it years from now and 10 years and see there's a bit of a gap somewhere where they're not getting a lot of influx of young talent. But if this results in this team with the stakes involved with Bergeron and Krejci hosting another cup, doesn't matter. And again, no. It's also not to say that the Bruins have also, like, sacrificed – in the long term. We're looking like 10 years down the road. Yeah, I'm sure they probably wish they had a couple of first round picks, but as I kind of noted from what Don Sweeney said and what Cam Neely kind of echoed earlier, this is still a team that, yes, you can't replace Bergeron and Krejci, but acquiring guys by using this draft capital like Lindholm or even like Orlov or any of these other players, like, this is a team that's built to also contend long term if they're able to sign one of these players. So you know, if you tell me that you're going to next year and you still have Pastrnak and McAvoy and Lindholm and Ullmark, Swayman, all these other players, that's a pretty good, like, starting off point if you're trying to retool on the fly, right? So, again, in the short term, it doesn't matter if they win a cup, even if you're sacrificing more first-round picks. And, again, who knows kind of how the chips fall in terms of we get to the offseason, right? Like, is there money freed up for Orlov? Do they move other pieces that allow them to re-sign a guy like that? They have more money to sign a guy like Bertuzzi if he, performs well here during this playoff run. Like, there's a lot of options, and it definitely helps your case when you have guys already in the room that are going to be part of this cup run in terms of maybe enticing them to stay long-term. But the Bruins, at the very least, it's not like these other teams that are, you know, starting from scratch with the rebuild and they're have a lot of really lean years ahead of them. The Bruins have options, right? They have talent in place, signed long-term, and they have options and other ways to retool this system. So whether it's keeping this core in group, you also have to look at the fact that, one, they're probably going to sign a bunch of college free agents, as they always do.
That's the big one.
But also, don't forget that throughout this process of acquiring all these guys this year, they also didn't relinquish both Lysell and Lauri. So you do still have two blue chip players. You don't know what you have in a guy like Matthew Poitras, but he's a guy that has a lot of promise as well. So you still have some, you know, some blue chips already in the prospect pipeline. And if they work out, that's great. You add them to the system, or who knows, we could get to next year or this offseason. And if Clayton Keller or another young center is available, you still have capital to trade. That's not just a 2026-27 first round pick, right? You eventually have to stop going further down the timeline to deal first rounders, but all in consider, the Bruins have the assets to both rebuild on the fly and also trade more. They need to acquire more, you know, definite NHL talent the next year or so.
Yeah, again, I mean, you look at, like, I don't understand the people who think the Bruins are going to be terrible next year. I don't get it. Let's say Krejci and Bergeron don't return, right? Let's just say. Obviously, that's a big issue. You got to figure something out with the top six centers. I completely get it. But you do have the wings to be fine. Marchand, Pastrnak, Hall, DeBrusk. You'll have Lysell a year older. I would guess Pavel Zak would be down the middle, but you know, you do have him as well. And then on D, Lindholm, McAvoy, Carlo, Grizzlick, Innet, Ullmark, Swayman, who's an RFA at the end of this year. You know, but so again, like, they're fine going forward. It's just you need to solidify the middle. We've said this for, what, 2 years now, 3 years now? You need to figure out the future at center. And again, I don't think that they've done that yet. But again, they're not going to be bad. They didn't, like, people shouldn't look at the 2024 draft pick and say, oh my God, guess, you know, that shit's going to be a lottery pick next year. And, you know, we gave it up. By the way, it's top 10 protected anyway. But to me, I think they will be fine. And again, also, if they re-sign Orlov and or Bertuzzi, you have that. We're going way far in the future here. It doesn't, you know, Clifton is going to be due a healthy dose of money. I don't know if that's in the cards this offseason. We'll see what ends up happening. But as you said, the college free agent route's a thing, and you have Lysell and Lowrie still. You have you have legitimate prospects that, you know, you never know, and you know, Brett Harrison as well. So again, I'm not opposed to dealing first, especially, like, look, let's be honest here. Under Sweeney, obviously we've talked a lot about the drafting. There was a good chunk of time in there where the drafting wasn't great, right? If you're going to deal your first for legitimate players, fine. Like, the Lindholm thing was a perfect example. I remember people tweeting last year, and they're right to do this, you know, when the draft was happening and the Bruins didn't have a pick, it's like, well, you know, that's unfortunate and all, but Hampus Lindholm was basically your first round pick, which is a good, that's who you hope your first round pick becomes. And you make the case for Bertuzzi or Dmitry Orlov. And as you said, Connor, as we've said for weeks now, if they win the cup, none of this matters. None of it matters. You won a cup and that's that. And again, I mean, you look at the rest of the East, the Maple Leafs are gearing up. The Lightning are doing their thing. The Devils, Timo Meier now, and the Rangers with Tarasenko and Kane. The Hurricanes are kind of existing. I know they got Puljujarvi. They got Shane Goss to spare. So they're ready for a strong cup run. Well, we're live for the people, because we're all about the people, as you know, Connor. Is there a team in the East right now that scares you the most?
Still Carolina.
Yeah.
Even if maybe they haven't made the most sizable impact yet. And again, we still have some time between now and the deadline. I don't know if there's a dark horse that we're not paying attention to that could get moved or what have you. But I think when you just look at the system in place, the structure that they play with under Rod Brind'Amour, the way they match up against the Bruins, especially, that's still a team that I think scares anyone. Like, they just, the way when they're clicking and they're attacking on the forecheck, it almost seems like it's coming in waves. So I think that's still going to be the toughest out. Again, we'll see. Like, Patrick Kane could go out and score, you know, 4 or 5 goals in his first couple of games, and all of a sudden the Rangers look good because they've got Shesterkin. The Devils are still an upstart team that, you know, could make some noise. I mean, there's just so many teams. You're not even looking at Tampa and Toronto, who are going to beat the snot out of each other in the first round. Like, there's a lot of teams you really never have seen it before. So many teams think they have a shot and are loading up this year, which is, I think, testament to the parity in the league, but also impressive that so many teams are also looking at what the Bruins are doing and like, let's give it a shot. Like, you can just how good the Bruins have been. But I think, yeah, if you had to ask me one team I think is still the toughest hurdle, probably in the whole NHL, I'm going to go with Carolina. I just think that team, when they're on their game, they are a tough out.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I would say Carolina, the well-coached, they play hard. They play a way that a brand of hockey that works in the postseason. A dark horse, though, I would say Toronto. And the only reason I say Toronto is they boosted up. You can tell with Dubas, they are all in a sense, I think, for his own job. But also, like, they're kind of due. I know we make fun of the Maple Leafs a lot, but at some point, that team is going to get past the first round. And, you know, if you're facing them in the second, you know, again, they have to get past the second round too, and I still would take the Bruins, but, you know, they're a better team than they were a month ago. One thing before we go, I want to talk about Chychrun. The shoe finally dropped, and it was the Ottawa Senators, and they get, like, nothing, not much for him, right? I mean, this has been an ongoing thing for years now. Chychrun is a trade deadline legend, and he doesn't go for much, and the fact that the Coyotes just did that, and I just, it blows my mind. Now, he's in the Atlantic. The Senators, like, on paper, the Senators are not a
good
bad
for them.
Team.
Good,
like,
for the Senators, like, for making
good for
move.
The Senators. Yeah, like, good for them. But for the Coyotes, my God, that team is always going to be mired in just living in their own mistakes.
It's embarrassing. They're a clown car organization. I mean, you look at just all these contract negotiations, all these trade rumors you hear in the past from the Bruins. We're looking at Oliver Ekman Larson, which, thank God they did not do that trade, because Hammers Lindholm has been significantly better. But the biggest hang up there, if you want to know the seven, it's a huge surprise. Arizona did not want to retain any money. It's shocking how that happened.
No way. No way.
When they have a top asset like Jacob Chychrun, who signed on a below market deal for the next 2 years, the top priority, instead of maximizing picks, is retaining salary so they can go to their crappy college campus ass arena and wither away in the Arizona desert. Not surprised at all to see this team has once again fumbled the bag with a top asset. It's embarrassing. That team is literally just now a front in terms of that organization for dumping contracts with guys on LTIR who are not going to play a single game in the NHL. It's embarrassing that there's just one team that is just literally an asset for other teams and refuse to take on any sort of money or make any effort to be competitive. If they somehow tumble into Bedard, NHL should step in and make sure that guy never plays a single minute for that team. Because I feel bad for everyone else who has to mire in how crappy that organization is. It's embarrassing.
Yeah, I feel bad for, like, Logan Cooley, who's actually, like, a really good prospect who was drafted to them last year and is looking, going, I'm going to that organization. Are you kidding me? I mean, just clown car, as you said, but good for the Senators are bolstering up. I mean, I don't think they'll be a threat this year. They still got to figure out what the deal in net is, but interesting team going on up there. But the Bruins, again, Pastrnak, Bertuzzi, obviously the future of Hall and Foligno kind of hangs in the balance. We'll see what ends up happening with them. Connor, what can the good people who joined in today and listen to us every week, what can they look forward to from you over at boston.com?
Yeah, we're going to have you covered every step of the way this Bruins season, whether it be recaps, features, columns, breakdowns. We have plenty of stuff already on the Bertuzzi trade, the injuries with Hall and Foligno. We'll have a column later on today about Pastrnak after this game against the Sabres, which, again, yes, there is a Bruins game tonight. Don't forget.
There's a Bruins game.
Yeah, there is a.
And they could go for 100 points. It's 100 points, potentially.
Yes. A lot going on today. So we will again have you covered every step of the way with the Bruins. Of course, over at boston.com, we have you covered on everything else that's going on in Boston sports, whether it's the Celtics, Patriots, Red Sox, everything. We have you covered over there. So please read over there at boston.com. And if you want to follow me on Twitter, you can at ConnorRyan_93.
Go do all that. And also New England Hockey Journal, a lot of playoffs going on around the region. There's a lot going on.
Sir.
I am moving around quite a bit to different rinks in the region. It's very fun. It's a good time of year. Make sure to go subscribe to us over there. And yeah, that's today's episode of Poke the Bear. I'm very happy for those who get to tune in live, for those who are watching after. You know, great for you too. And we always love and appreciate your support. And we're always just as big a fan as you guys, as you are of hopefully us. But anyways, that is Connor Ryan. I'm Evan Marinofsky. Poke the Bear listeners, have a great rest of your week.